The games are wrapping up and the scores are rolling in. This is your source for all of Central Ohio's high school football scores and live interviews with the winning coaches and players. It's the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Abel Roofing.
I'll tell you what, these last 10 minutes here, Lee, in the studio, this is exactly what you want for round one of the playoffs. Man, we have got some things to talk about. Hello, everybody. I'm Ryan Baker. Welcome to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. I'm joined by the guru, Lee Cochran, from This Week Sports. And wow, some of these games right now, the rematches in Division One, Region Three, in the one game that wasn't a rematch. What a classic. Groveport gets by Hilliard-Davidson 18-17. The final 2 minutes of this game were more exciting than the whole previous 46.
Well, look at it this way. It was 10-0 Davidson with 7 minutes left in the half, or left in the game. And I mean, Groveport gets a onside kick, goes down, and long run. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we're just glued to the phones and the computers, just following this one.
It's crazy, and we're watching this Liberty-Westerville Central game right now. Liberty led most of the way, then Westerville Central ties it at 7. Liberty gets a 74-yard touchdown pass, and we've got a refresh because Westerville Central had driven the ball down to the 2.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it looked like Olentangy Orange was going to run away with that game, and that game's gotten tight now.
I mean, this is just insane. And then Grandview, they were up 20-0, then trailed 28-20, and they get a 35-28 win late over Paint Valley in a game that I thought Paint Valley would roll in.
Well, yeah, and, well, it was a close game last year, 39-36, you know, and then the game we just heard. You know, who expected Hartley to only win 14-8? You know, I figured, you know, that they'd have a little bit more of a spread than that. But, I mean, it's just been what you want from the first round of the playoffs. It's a lot of excitement. Yeah, there were a few blowouts, but there was a whole lot more excitement.
And how about this one, Lee? Reynoldsburg has just cut the Pickerington Central lead to 20-14.
Yeah, and that was a game, 3 weeks ago that Reynoldsburg lost 40-14, and Buddy White said, well, believe me when I say we're going to have a different game plan this time. And, you know, it's just these rematches, you know, and we'll talk to some of the coaches about these, but, you know, for like Olentangy Orange, Pickerington North was their only loss of the year, and they got blown out in that one, and I know they were looking forward to playing this game. You know, then Central and Liberty, a rematch. Pickerington, Central and Reynoldsburg, another rematch. You know, and that was, like I said, was also a blowout. But it's just exciting right now. I mean, I love this, Ryan. I love this so much.
And Olentangy Liberty has just won. They beat Westerville Central tonight 14-7. So two games between those two teams, 17-7 in the regular season, 14-7 in the postseason.
Yeah, they're so evenly matched, and I think that both those teams expected a close game. You know, and for Liberty, you know, they're looking for their fourth straight state semifinal berth. You know, is this the year they actually take that next step?
It could be. You never know. And we're talking about all this. Why don't we throw overtime into the mix? Dublin Jerome and Springboro, they're going to a second overtime tied at 21.
Yeah, and Coach Guestwich said in the preview at thisweeksports.com that he thought Springboro probably was the best team they'd face all year up to this point. And that's just been a dynamic game out there. Frank Dorena's out there for us. So, you know, it's just par for the course tonight. Just nothing but excitement.
Now, Lee, because it's the playoffs, we are going to focus on Central Ohio, but we will try throughout the night to give you scores from around the state. You want some more? An 8 has just beaten a 1. This is in Division 6, Region 23. Fairview has beaten Lima Central Catholic 29-27.
Yeah, and, you know, that happens. It seems like it happens once or twice a year that an 8 beats a 1. And, you know, you look at somebody like DeSales. DeSales is a 7 seed. You know, it's tough to gauge. I mean, DeSales isn't your normal seven seed. You know, and they win tonight. They go down to Cincinnati Turpin and pull out the victory. But, you know, I will say this. It seems a little bit more rare in Division One, because a number one seed in Division One hasn't lost an opening round game since 2014.
Looking here, Worthington Christian, they have just given up a touchdown. There's still 5 minutes in this one left, but they trail Covington 33-21. We talked about there was five first-timers in the playoffs this year. One of them was Xenia. They have fallen tonight. Walnut Ridge wins 28-7. We've talked about the Walnut Ridge defense all year, Lee. Xenia's only touchdown in this one was an interception return for a touchdown, so the defense holds Xenia scoreless throughout the night.
And the you know, Xenia's another one of those teams, like you say, making their first playoff trip. But all season, they'd called fewer than 25 pass plays. You know, and being so one-dimensional, I mean, that just makes it difficult for them to try to catch up in a game like this. And, you know, hats off to the Scots and Coach Byron Maddox. You know, he told us they weren't happy. They're not satisfied just getting in the playoffs. They wanted to make some noise.
And they have made some noise as they are moving on to week number two. They'll be playing next week as they get the big win tonight. I'm just looking over here trying to see some things as we go. Toledo St. John's has scored, Lee. 9 minutes left in the game, but they lead Westerville South by a score of 35-20 in that one. Westerville South kind of been behind the eight ball all night in that one. They started to come back, but now they have given up the score. As I try to hit the top of the screen here, trying to get maybe an update on either this Pickerington Central Reynoldsburg game or the game in overtime. Again, Dublin Jerome and Springboro, they are tied at 21, and they were heading to the second overtime. Try to see if we can get an update here on that one real quick. But let's go ahead and let's run through the scores as we can't see anything right now. Dublin Kaufman, they have won tonight 45-14. Of course, that one in Division One, Region Two. Huge game from the Shamrocks. Don't think it's much of a surprise, though.
No, Connor Matthews had a big game for the Shamrocks. He threw for two touchdowns, rushed for two more. 7 of 12 passing for 189 yards. I mean, that's quite a nice average per completion for them. You know, Kaufman led 35-7. One of the few games where, you know, it was pretty much done at halftime.
Yeah, huge game for the Shamrocks in that one. We have the one final, or two finals in Division One, Region Three. Olentangy Liberty doubles up Westerville Central 14-7. And I mean, what a great story, Lee. I mean, it was a crazy ending, but how about the year Groveport has had, and it continues in the playoffs. They get the 18-7 win over Hilliard Davidson, and I don't think a lot of people thought it gave Groveport much of a chance in this one.
No, and especially after last week, because, you know, Groveport, you know, laid an egg against New Albany and just got drilled. I think it was 35-7. And you're talking about one of the most storied programs in Central Ohio, Hilliard Davidson, two-time state champion. And, you know, Groveport was making only its fourth playoff appearance, first since 2007. You know, and we've talked about it before. This is a team that a couple years ago was 0-10. And, you know, especially being down 10-0, you know, and a friend of ours, Mark Lytle, who was at the game, said, you know, he started thinking about it was time to leave, and then he sat back down and he said, just such a great finish.
And how about this one, an exciting one from around the state? Archibald throws a touchdown pass, 28-yarder on the final play of the game. They beat Coldwater 27-21 tonight. That one in Division 6, Region 23. We know Coldwater and their great playoff streak they've got going on, but they fall tonight to Archibald.
Yeah, I think that might be the first time they've lost in the first round, too. But we've got a little bit of an update. Pickerington Central, as you said, leads Reynoldsburg 20-14. There's a minute 50 to go. The Raiders have the ball at their own 30.
We also have an update. Jerome has held Springboro to a field goal. So Jerome getting the ball here in the second overtime. They are trailing in that one now, 24-21. So we will give you these updates here as we go. It is crazy what's going on here right now in week one of the playoffs. Over in Division Two, Region Seven, Olentangy, they're the sixth seed. They get in with a 5-5 record. No problem for the Braves tonight. They just smoke Troy 42-10.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody really saw that coming because Olentangy, you know, they were one of six 5-5 teams to make the playoffs. Their sixth straight trip to the playoffs. But last week in the loss to Westville Central, seven turnovers. And, you know, they've lost 3 of 4. They closed the regular season losing 3 of 4. But, you know, another team, just like Groveport, you know, an ugly way to end the regular season and then turns around and wins a playoff game. I mean, you know, that's just such a... You talk about the coaching job, but it's also the kids being resilient and saying, okay, let's put that behind us and focus on what's ahead. And that's not easy to do, but it, you know, it takes a good combination of good coaching and attentive players to be able to do that.
Worthington Christian is on the board again, Lee. They trail Covington 33-27 now, just under 4 minutes left in that one. And unfortunately, it looks like the great season for Centennial is going to come to an end. They are still in the middle of the fourth quarter, but it is a running clock. Jackson has a 63-21 lead over the Stars.
Yeah, and Reynoldsburg's at its own 43 now with a minute 29 left, first and 10. Reynoldsburg has four turnovers and minus 13 yards rushing in this game, and they still have a chance to win. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know they were on the board first in this one with a blocked punt for a touchdown. So one of those was scored on the special teams. Ethan Gross has hit a 36-yard field goal. Jerome and Springboro, let's go to a third overtime. They're tied at 24.
Of course. Wasn't it Randy in the Hartley game? Larry, it was Coach Wolf, kind of joked that how about a 5-overtime game at Hartley? Well, we might get that out at Dublin Jerome.
Yeah, it is possible for sure. Westerville South is on the board again. They have cut the Toledo St. John's lead to 35-26, so definitely something we will watch there. In Division Two, Region Eight, DeSales has knocked off Cincinnati Turpin 27-13. Quintel Quinn with a career high 278 yards rushing and three scores in that one. DeSales will play the winner of Harrison and Canal Winchester, and that one was all Harrison last we saw, 24-6. Walnut Ridge, they will play Cincinnati LaSalle next week. The Lancers beat Little Miami 42-0. Walnut Ridge gets a 28-7 lead or win over Xenia tonight. Let's go ahead and talk to their head coach, Byron Maddox, right now on the scoreboard show. And Coach Maddox, what a great game from your defense. Those 7 points, that was an interception return for a touchdown for Xenia. How great was your defense in round one of the playoffs?
I can't say enough about our defense. Coach Ayers and our defensive staff, I mean, they put together a great game plan, and you know, we've been watching film on those guys, and they were mauling people all season long, and our guys stood strong and held them down.
Well, Coach, when as you said, you know, Buccaneers, you know, pretty impressive, but they're very one-dimensional. I think I saw that they had called fewer than 25 pass plays all season. How much easier, how much different is that to prepare for someone when you know that they're just going to try to run it down your throat?
Yeah, we knew that they hadn't thrown the ball much, and our goal was to get out ahead of them so they can get them out of their comfort zone and have to throw it a few times. But, you know, going against teams that have ran the option, you're always worried about that one. They pick that right time to run a pass, and then it's usually a touchdown a lot of times. So we had everything covered, and our guys just did a fantastic job.
Now, what was working for you on offense? I mean, put 28 points. You know, they hadn't lost since the opening game to Beaver Creek, 21-20. What were you guys finding success doing tonight?
We were able to run downhill. We brought in, we played four running backs. Javaris Leach came back off an ankle, and our sophomore Antonio Feltz and senior Silas Padmore and Miles Garrett, they just, you know, we got behind our O-line. Our O-line said, Coach, we got to run the ball. And I usually listen to what they say. So that's what we did, and we're very successful at it.
Well, Coach, it's your third straight trip to the playoffs. Does that give you a little bit more confidence, especially when you're going on the road in the opening round?
Yeah. the last 2 years going to the playoffs was, you know, great experience for our guys. Our seniors, it's their third straight trip, and going to Massillon, it doesn't really get any bigger than that. So we'd like to get on the road and, you know, circle the wagon, so to speak, and galvanize ourselves, get our, you know, our fans that come down. We had a nice little fans that came, and you know, it just keeps us more focused.
Coach, just to piggyback off of that, Xenia was making their first playoff appearance ever. They're the home team. You're there. I'm sure it was a wild crowd tonight. Did you guys kind of have to manage that a little bit as well?
We practiced with some music, you know, early in the week a little bit, just to get our guys used to some noise. But it didn't bother us at all, really. I mean, they have a really nice crowd, great community support, but we weren't really fazed by it.
And then, Coach, next week we mentioned it's going to be Cincinnati LaSalle. They're the one seed there in Region 8. Do you know anything about them yet?
No, I don't. I know they're good. I don't know too much. We're going to enjoy this one tonight and get right on them in the morning.
All right, Coach. Well, congratulations. Great performance tonight. The Scots are 11-0 on the year and heading to Week 12.
I appreciate it.
He's the head coach of Walnut Ridge, Byron Maddox. His team beat Xenia tonight 28-7. Let's stay right there in Division II, Region 8. Let's talk to the head coach of DeSales, Ryan Wiggins. His team gets a 27-13 win tonight. And coach Quintel Quinn with a huge game, career high 278 yards and 3 touchdowns. We've talked about you, about him a lot with you this year. How good was he tonight?
Oh, he was great. I mean, he got us a lot of tough yardage. We were able to move the chains. I haven't seen the stats yet, but we, in the first half, we were getting what we wanted. We were getting great push. We were winning the physical battle, but we had a couple mistakes in terms of putting the ball on the ground that killed some drives. And so, came in at halftime, and, you know, we're in a tough ball game. I mean, this is a 10-0 football team with a really explosive offense. We wanted to keep them off the field. But I was happy, you know, happy with the win. I mean, in the playoffs, you're going to play somebody really good, and you're going to have to play well, and we played well enough. And Quintel and the guys up front, I mean, they together did a great job.
Coach, this is a team that's put up a lot of points all season long. What were you guys doing defensively to slow them?
Well, part of it was trying to keep, you know, trying to run the football and shorten things a little bit and keep them off the field. But when they were on the field, I thought we did a really nice job of mixing our coverage and mixing our pressures and just sort of keeping them off balance. You know, and I thought a few times he was able to pull the ball down and run with it, which is something he's really good at. But ultimately, we got 4 turnovers off these guys. I don't think they had, and I don't know if they had that many all year, certainly not in the films that we had. So that was a big deal. Our defense was really dialed in. They played their responsibility. You know, talked about not giving up the big ones and playing our responsibilities, and we did a really good job of it.
Coach, I talked a little bit with you this week about your guys' schedule that you've played, of course, coming off the big one against Hartley last week, and the schedule that Turpin had played. Quite frankly, they had not played as good of a schedule as you guys, and if you thought that that would play a factor in this one was 14-13. Actually, you were trailing 13-7 in the second half, but then you pull away late and get the lead. Do you think that that did have something to do in the outcome of this one?
Well, I don't think there's any question. We've played some really good people this year. You know, I think when you get into a tough four-quarter game and you have to come from behind and win, or you have to, you know, get a big play in the second half, we've done that so many times this year against good people. There's at least a handful of occasions where we've had to come from behind and win in the second half or the fourth quarter. So I think so. You know, I think those types of things prepare you for playoff games, and I think DeSales has always been that way in terms of our schedule. You know, and yeah, that's one thing about Turpin. When you look at their schedule, they weren't challenged very much. Maybe a couple games that were, you know, kind of close, but no, they really weren't challenged very much. And I think there's something to be said for that. You know, there's really no way to teach somebody how to get tougher and better in the fourth quarter except actually experience it, and fortunately we've been able to do that a few times.
Now, Coach, I'm seeing that Harrison has won tonight. Do you know if that's correct?
I don't know yet. I'm assuming the scores you reported, but they had the advantage.
Yeah, it looks like that. What I'm seeing right now is 24-18. I know you actually scouted Harrison a couple weeks ago, or last week. Yep. If that's the case, what do you know about them?
Well, another explosive offense. This time it's led by a quarterback. He's a big 6'4", 225 pounds. I mean, he looks like a Saturday player. He has a great arm. In fact, we were saying that in the first half they were in a running clock by halftime, but in the first half I don't even think he had an incompletion. He was very much on target. And that's what I had seen out of them. It's another one of these explosive offenses that hopefully we can, continue to run the football and keep those guys off the field.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the great win tonight over Turpin. We look forward to seeing you in Week 12.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
He's the head coach of St. Francis DeSales, Ryan Wiggins, 27-13. They hand Turpin their first and only loss of the year. Lee, while we were talking to Coach Wiggins, Pickerington Central has won. They beat Reynoldsburg 20-14. Unfortunately, Worthington Christian has not. They lose 33-27. And how about this? Four overtimes, 31-31, Dublin, Jerome, and Springboro.
Boy, that's going to be that's got to be so exciting out there. Jerome pulls it out. We'll talk to Coach Guestwich and see how exciting it is for a coach. But for us, that's exciting as all heck.
There's so much going on, I'm forgetting about breaks, but let's go ahead and take one real quick. We're going to take our first break of the evening, but when we come back, we will talk to the head coach of Olentangy, Mark Solis. His team gets a huge 42-10 win tonight, plus we'll run through the scores we got as well. Playoff edition of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. More of it coming up next.
You're invited to be a part of the greatest weekend in high school football, the OHSAA State Championships in Canton, Ohio. Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium hosts all seven title games, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Make it a weekend to remember with the state finals and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Log on to the football page at OHSAA.org for information on the playoffs, championship games, and tickets. Don't miss your chance to be a part of history.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof crew is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 35 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof. 444-ROOF.
Jeff here from Custom Air. Early in his career, the president of Custom Air noticed the peers he respected always did three things well. They took care of their customers, retained good employees, and earned respect in the community. At Custom Air, we follow these same principles, and it all starts with our team members. You'll find our employees are committed to quality, customer service, and trust with each and every one of our customers. It's the way we do things. That's the Custom Air way. Custom Air, custom solutions, custom comfort.
It's Randy here with Dan Tolan, the owner of the Metal Roof Company. And Dan, you always have exciting news. I understand you're offering something new, right?
Randy, I've got something very exciting. We are offering stone-coated stamped steel roofing for all the folks that want the benefits of a metal roof, but with the look of a shingle.
And if your homeowners association is a little picky, this will fit the bill, right?
This is exactly what you need.
So give them a call, 614-721-ROOF, 614-721-ROOF, or hit the net at themetalroofcompany.com.
Are you tired of your plants always dying? Look no further than Oakland Nursery, a leader in landscape design with an award-winning team of designers and architects waiting to help with your projects. Oakland's experts seek to provide plants that will thrive in Ohio's challenging climate. So what are you waiting for? Visit oaklandnursery.com today for a wide selection of landscaping options that will help your yard stand out. That's oaklandnursery.com.
So, Lee, at the break there, we're seeing that Springboro has missed a field goal in the fourth overtime, doubling Jerome's ball. So will we see the Celtics move on? It is fun trying to watch this here in week 11 of the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Ryan Baker and the guru Lee Cochran here with you. And I'm pretty sure it was fun for Olin Tangi coach Mark Solis tonight. His Braves get a huge 42-10 win over Troy this evening. Coach, how fun was that tonight?
It was fun. I mean, to be able to, you know, do what we were able to do tonight, especially offensively. And, you know, I think that after last week and laying an egg and not playing that well at all last week and against Westerville Central in our 41-7 loss there, we cleaned the slate. We didn't even watch the tape. Got back to work on Monday and, you know, got into the tape and had a great game plan, but more importantly, the kids executed it extremely well tonight. I really liked our physicality as well, and you know, so I think it's fair to say that our schedule got us prepared for a game like this in the playoffs. You know, I think that's why we're going to be a tough out, because of the schedule we played.
Yeah, Coach, that's what I was going to ask you, because, you know, Troy played only three teams that had winning records this year, and, you know, you guys just had, you know, a gauntlet in the OCC. Yeah. Buckeye.
Yeah.
But, you know, you say you don't watch the film after last week. You know, you try to put that as far away as possible, because, I mean, let's be honest, last week wasn't, you know, a typical game, and yeah, this week was for you. You know, what was the big difference?
I just think the fact that the kids came to work, we cleaned the slate, literally cleaned the slate on Monday, and, you know, we just simply asked the kids, are you ready to put your pads away or do you want to continue to play? But, you know, once again, I think that our schedule had us hardened pretty good. I mean, we have the third hardest schedule in the state of Ohio in Division II. Only LaSalle and Whitton Woods had a tougher schedule than we did. So, and, you know, we got a guy back on the offensive line this week. That helped. You know, we're fairly healthy for the most part on both sides of the ball and in the kicking game. And, you know, and so it's a game like this that, you know, honestly, you know, we can even build off of this game tonight, you know, and improve on some things. And this is the time of year that you want to have a game like we had tonight and, you know, where you're playing your best football. And we're going to enjoy it here tonight, and then we're going to get back to work tomorrow. And great thing I just told the kids, the great thing about the tournament is that you go from 32 to 16, and we're 1-16, and I ask them, do you want to be 1-8 after next week? So we'll get back to work, and, you know, with our matchup with Anthony Wayne.
Yeah, now you guys have, you know, thrown the ball quite a bit, but tonight you had a couple players go over 100 yards rushing. What did you see that, you know, opened up on the ground game for you?
Yeah, we, you know, it was kind of a thing. We challenged our offensive line this week, and they responded extremely well. And, yeah, we're Landon Johnson and Malik Wade did a great job tonight running the football, and we were really balanced in both the run game and the pass game tonight, and it allowed us to hit a couple big home runs. And, you know, Trent Maddox played real well at quarterback. We had a couple big catches, one by Jake Coleman, one by Jace Middleton, and one by Caleb Gossett. So, you know, when you have that many weapons on offense, you want to be, you know, I think it's hard to defend. And our defense played really well tonight, you know, against a team that had a really good quarterback. And we gave up one big play, but they played really well tonight, tackled well, was physical, but so I'm proud of that side of the ball as well.
Coach, I'm glad you mentioned the defense there, holding Troy to just 10 points. Anybody stand out on that side of the ball, or was it just a total team effort?
Not total team effort. I think a couple guys stood out. Our two inside linebackers, Mitchell Grubb and Nick Boyarco, did a great job tonight, you know, kind of keeping things pretty sound from C-gap to C-gap. But the D-line, listen, you know, you don't do what you do on defense without the D-linemen. They did a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage. But I was really pleased. The two big things was our tackling and physicality. And we gotta improve, though, in our pass defense. We gave up a couple first downs on third down. But overall, it's a good team win and something we can build off of. And we're just excited to continue our season. The boys are. And we're going to have hopefully a great week of practice and see what we got against Anthony Wayne.
Well, Coach, you said you told him you wanted to be, you're 1 of 32, now you're 1 of 16. You got to play Anthony Wayne to be 1 of 8. What do you know about Anthony Wayne?
Well, I think they're a program that, traditionally speaking, has had a lot of success throughout the years. They're looking at their scores, very stout defense. They have like 6 or 7 shutouts this year. I've heard they have a real good quarterback, kind of the offense goes through him in a run game. So obviously, across the board, they've got a sound football team. And listen, when you get to this part of the tournament and the season, everybody's good, okay? It doesn't happen by accident that you're 1 of 16, and so it's going to be a hell of a challenge for us, but we're looking forward to the opportunity and the challenge.
Well, we're looking forward to watching it next week too, Coach. Congratulations on the huge win tonight, and good luck next week against Anthony Wayne.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Guys, have a great night. Thank you.
He's the head coach of Olentangy, Mark Solis. What an impressive performance tonight.
And very surprising. Not that they won, but how they blew out Troy, and especially coming off the he even said it too. They laid an egg last week, but he made mention of Anthony Wayne's defense. They had 6 straight shutouts, gave up a touchdown last week in a 56-7 victory over Springfield. That ought to be interesting. Obviously we're not going to talk to Anthony Wayne's coach, but Olentangy right now 6-5. And I'm sure their coach is going to say exactly what Coach Solis just said, that every one of these final 16 teams are there for a reason. But when you see Olentangy with a 6-5 record, I don't know. If they even think about looking past the Braves could be one of the top, could make the final 8.
Lee, in the 4th overtime, Dublin Jerome misses a 39-yard field goal. They're on to a 5th, and Ryan Miller has hit Adam Booth for a 17-yard touchdown pass. So, Jerome, in the 5th overtime, you and Randy called it, 38-31. They lead Springboro. Let's go ahead, Lee, now, and run through the rest of these scores here. Actually, let's just start at the top again and give you the ones we've got final. Let's go Division 1, Region 2. Dublin Kaufman beats Perrysburg 45-14. They will play Toledo Whitmer next week as they have beaten Northmont 35-21. In Division 1, Region 3, Olentangy Liberty gets by Westerville Central 14-7. Pickerington Central 20, Reynoldsburg 14. Pickerington North and Olentangy Orange, I have not gotten a final on that one yet, but Orange was up by a good margin. Groveport beats Hilliard Davidson 18-17. We'll talk to their coach Brian Schoonover in just a second here about how wild that ending was. Anthony Wayne, Lee, I'm seeing this one was 44-36. They beat Olentangy Berlin. Do you have anything different?
No, that's why I've seen as well.
Okay, so 44-36. They will play Olentangy next week, who won over Troy 42-10. In Division 2, Region 8, DeSales knocks off Turpin 27-13. They will play Harrison next week, who beat Canal Winchester 24-18. Walnut Ridge, the 5 seed, they beat Xenia 28-7. They will play Cincinnati LaSalle next week, who beat Little Miami 42-0. Division 3, Region 11, the game you heard right here on AM 820. Hartley gets by London 14-8. Next week, Hartley will play Granville, who beat Zanesville 41-7. Jonathan Alder gets by Sheridan 35-13. They'll play Jackson next week, who beats Centennial 70-28. But Lee, what a great year for Coach Goosby and the Stars.
Yeah, first City League North title, first trip to the playoffs. I know it stings right now, but it'll take them a little bit of time to get past that. But once they look back at what they accomplished and what they could set for the future, they've got to be pretty proud of themselves.
Great, great season for them. And then Division 6, Region 24, Grandview beats Paint Valley 35-28. They were up 20-0 in this one, then trailed 28-20, and they come back and get the the win. How about that for the Bobcats? And Worthington Christian falls tonight, 33-27. They lose to Covington. But again, Lee, their first time in the playoffs. What a great year for Coach Hardings and his Warriors.
Yeah, and it's only the program's sixth year, and he's really built it up. I mean, they've got some longevity there with playoff success. I mean, getting to the playoffs.
And, Lee, I was just trying to get an update real quick on this Dublin-Jerome game. Springboro has fumbled in the fifth overtime, so the Celtics are moving on. They win 38-31 in five overtimes.
Yeah, and Frank's deadline is in about 15, 20 minutes, so Frank.
He better write quick, huh? What a game tonight from Groveport. They beat Hilliard-Davidson 18-17. Their head coach, Brian Schoonover, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, the final 3-4 minutes of this one, they were pretty crazy, weren't they?
It was insane. I mean, it was we were down, and then we were able to hit a 95-yard run. Then we go and get an onside kick, able to get to drop the ball down again. And we were fortunate enough to score. It was, just a hard-fought, tough game that, I just couldn't be happier for our kids right now.
Coach, you sound exhausted.
I am. I 100% am.
What does it mean?
Fat and high blood pressure. I went through everything. A little bit of exhaustion right now.
You talking about us?
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you, Coach, we're just following it. I had friends of mine at the game. They're texting. Ryan's following it. I mean, this is crazy. But what does it mean to beat a team like Davidson? You know, one of the most storied programs in Central Ohio.
I don't think there's a word that can even describe it. I mean, like Coach White and those guys have been there for 20-plus years. They have two state titles. They're a consistent winner in the playoff. They're constantly number one seeds. They always seem to make a run. I mean, it's just an unbelievable program. And, we knew it was going to be a hard-fought game. It was going to be tough, and our kids were able to stick to the plan. And, it was just kind of one of those things where we were fortunate enough to come out and win it. At that one point, a couple times, it looked like, things weren't going to go our way, but our kids kept playing, and they were able to, at the end, pull through.
Well, you bring up a good point there, that the kids didn't quit. And especially after, last week, you didn't have a good performance against New Albany. How did you get the kids to rally around for tonight's game, and then when you're down 10-0 with 7 minutes to go? I mean, what's that say about your kids?
Well, how did we get them to rally? I'm gonna give you two words: Hilliard-Davidson. When they come in, if you're not ready to go and you're not prepared and you don't do your homework and study and all that other stuff that goes along with it, I mean, they're gonna beat you. And our kids knew that, and I think that our kids were, they wanted to get back out and play. And, the best thing for us was just get back out and play a game. And, if everybody has bad weeks, it's just how you respond to those bad weeks. And I thought our kids handled themselves well this week. They were locked in on what they needed to do. And, they just prepped the way they needed to prep. And I couldn't be happier for them. And like I said, at the end, those guys, when things seemed a little bleak and, there's a lot of people that were probably counting us out a little bit. These kids stuck together and just grinded one out.
Now, Coach, it sets up a pretty fun rematch for next week. One of your losses this year was to Olentangy Liberty. You'll get a chance to avenge that loss coming up in week 12. I'm guessing it won't take a lot to get the guys up for that one, will it?
Well, I just think that I think that it's playoff football, and I think that every week everybody's going to have energy, everybody's going to be up, everybody's going to be focused and locked in, and that game was 6 weeks ago, five, we'll go back and look at it, but I'm sure we're a little bit of a different team, and I know that Liberty's a little bit of a different team too, so we're going to have to just get our film and prep and do what we need to do to to be able to have some success. So, and you know, again, another huge challenge for these kids and in our program, and hopefully we'll be fortunate enough to come out and play well next week.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the huge win. Get some rest, get that blood pressure down, and we'll watch you guys next week against Liberty.
All right, bud.
The head coach of Groveport, Brian Schoonover, huge 18-17 win over Hilliard Davis.
Boy, you talk about a coach who just sounded just drained. I mean, you know, and understandably so. I mean, what, like you say, you know, it was 10-0 with 7 minutes to go, and they went 18-17. That's 25 points scored in the last 10 minutes of that game. I mean, we thought that game would be over by 8:30.
And it was on pace for it.
Yeah, it really was. It was a 37-minute first half. And, I mean, it just get. But, you know, that as I say, that's playoff football.
What an exciting end to the game in that. We're up against the top of the hour, so we got to take a break. But when we come back, we will talk to the head coach of Dublin, Kaufman. They are moving on after a 45-14 win over Perrysburg tonight. We will talk to Mark Crabtree coming up next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
If you're exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list as a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries. Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience, boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs. More than 50% of our students receive financial aid. 100% are accepted to college. You're invited to the St. Charles Open House on November 3rd from 1 to 3 p.m. To learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org.
Are you tired of your plants always dying? Look no further than Oakland Nursery, a leader in landscape design with an award-winning team of designers and architects waiting to help with your projects. Oakland's experts seek to provide plants that will thrive in Ohio's challenging climate. So what are you waiting for? Visit oaklandnursery.com today for a wide selection of landscaping options that will help your yard stand out. That's Oakland Nursery.
WVSG Columbus, Ohio. This is the home for listener supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Welcome back to AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. I am Ryan Baker. He is the guru, Lee Cochran, from This Week Sports. And Lee, we had a final as we were at break there. Westerville South season has come to an end. They lose to Toledo St. John's 42-34 tonight. Good season, though, for the Wildcats. They battled some injuries all year long. They lost their quarterback. Their running back, Michael Mansory, was out for a while. And they really fought back in this one tonight. They took it all the way down to the wire against St. John's.
Yeah, and it's South's first time in the playoffs since 2012. You know, for years they were one of those perennial playoff teams. It's good to see them back in the playoffs.
Yes, it was, and it was also good to see Dublin Kaufman tonight. They're moving on. They get a 45-14 win over Perrysburg. Their head coach, Mark Crabtree, joins us now. And, Coach, I don't know how long you've been listening or if you have, but there have been some crazy, wild, down-to-the-wire games tonight. You didn't have that at all tonight as you got out to a huge lead early and cruised to a 45-14 win. Does that make you feel good that you didn't have to go through what, say, a Coach Schoonover went through tonight?
Yeah, definitely. And, I've been waiting, my turn to talk to you guys and just kind of listening to the coaches and the scores coming in. It's
it's been an exciting night for high school football. But you know, that's playoffs. I mean, like Coach Sola says, I mean, you don't get here by accident, and you know, whatever round you exit the playoffs, I mean, everybody's good here and everybody's earned their way in it. So, you know, and that's the thing. You got to earn your way into this sport, and not everybody's given the opportunity to compete in the playoffs. You really got to take advantage of the opportunity when given to you.
Now, Coach, you played Perrysburg, obviously. Does it help that you played them the last, not this year, but the previous 2 years in the regular season?
Probably. Only in the sense that both of us are familiar with each other in terms of, you know, the schemes and you know, the facilities and all that type of thing. But the dynamics were different this year in that, you know, the last 2 years we opened with them. And so, you know, when you play somebody week one, you know, all you have really is scrimmage tape to go on. And a lot of people kind of hide things from you, you know, in terms of scheme. They don't really show a whole lot in a scrimmage game. But, you know, when you play somebody in the playoffs, you know, everything's out there for people to look at and you know, to kind of put a game plan together for. So, you know, that's really the biggest difference with us playing them now as compared to the last 2 years.
Well, now you got a big game from your quarterback, Connor Matthews. 2 touchdowns passing, 2 touchdowns rushing, 7 for 12 passing for 189 yards. That's a pretty good average per catch for your team.
That's a good night. And, you know, I know historically we've done a little bit of different type thing with the passing game. But, you know, we're a little different right now with who we have on our team and the kind of things that we can do. But the thing we always kind of strive for is being efficient in our offensive production. And the passing game is no different. We have goals that we set, and we want to try to be efficient in our passing game. And sometimes we're 6 out of 8. Tonight, I think you said we were either 9 for 12 or 7 for 12. I don't remember. But, you know, it was a good night. Connor played a good game, and he's got good people around him. So, you know, it's always nice to know that, you know, that you got a quarterback that's playing well. And actually, we played our other quarterback, too, Mason Maggs. He's done a great job. He's been playing early in the last 4 to 5 games for us as well. And he's got a chance to be good, too.
Now, Coach, next week you're going to have Toledo Whitmer. Do you know much about them right now?
Well, we played them last year too.
That's true.
Yeah, in the week two play, round two, I mean. They got a really special quarterback. He is good, and he can really throw it. And you know, I haven't seen them hardly at all. I mean, I know a little bit about them, but we haven't really seen them. So, you know, obviously we're going to prepare and study up and you know, try to figure out what to do and how we're going to approach things. But I know he's really good, and they got a lot of talent on their team, and, you know, it's a good football program.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight. 45-14, your team beats Perrysburg. Good luck next week against Toledo Whitmer.
Yep, thank you very much, guys.
He's the head coach of Dublin Kaufman, Mark Crabtree. What a... That's got to feel nice, you know, all these teams coming in, crazy scores, coaches pulling their hair out, coming down to the wire, and his team put it away early. That's got to feel good, a big relief in the playoffs.
Yeah, they got out to a 35-7 halftime lead. Like you said, you know, that allows him to play some of the other guys. You know, and Whitmer, as he brought up, Whitmer ended Kaufman's season last year, beat him 43-20 in the second round of the playoffs. You know, they're at that same spot again. I'm sure this might be brought up more than once or twice.
Lee, I have seen here, as I'm trying to get scores throughout the whole state as well, as we're just focusing right now on the local scores, but I've seen our second one seed tonight lose to an 8. That's in Division 6, Region 22. 5-5 Cary beats 9-1 Western Reserve, 50-41. So 2 1-seeds have gone down here in the first night of round one of the playoffs.
Yeah, and but you know, we don't know a whole lot about those teams, but still, I mean, it's you see a 5-5 team. Is that a, you know, one of 6 5-5 teams, and 2 of them won tonight? Olentangy won, Cary won. You know, you don't know what kind of schedule they played. As Coach Solis said, you know, their schedule prepared them for this. You know, we talked to Coach Birchfield
all the time. You know, he says, I can put together a schedule where we can go 10-0 every year, but that's not our goal. Our goal is for our schedule to prepare us for week 11 and hopefully get us to week 15.
Yeah, for sure. And you see a 5-5 team come in, they've probably been, if they got in the playoffs, pretty battle-tested. They've probably played a tough schedule, and we're seeing that in a couple tonight. Of course, Divisions 1, 2, 3, and 6 playing tonight in Round 1. Tomorrow night, we'll get 4, 5, and 7. In Division 6, Grandview gets a big 35-28 win tonight over Paint Valley. Their head coach, Jason Peters, joins us on the Scoreboard Show now. And coach, you guys got off to a really fast start. 20-0 was the score. Then Paint Valley came back and took a lead. You guys ultimately get the win. How good did it feel to put that one away tonight?
Yeah, I can't say enough about how resilient our kids were. I mean, they just kept digging down, finding a way. We jumped out early and Paint Valley battled back. A lot of credit to them, but our kids just found a way tonight. They weren't going to be denied, and they just, I don't know that I've ever been this proud of a group of kids to overcome all the adversity we had tonight, find a way to win. I mean, everybody just stepped up, next man up, and we got the job done.
And, Coach, this is a team that ended your season last year. Was that brought up a couple times this week?
Yeah, we talked about it, and we talked about how, you know, we had our opportunities last year, and we didn't take advantage, and we had to do a better job of that. So, you know, hats off to our kids for doing what they had to do.
You got a big game from Luke Lachey tonight. 200-plus yards rushing. What was working for you? And I thought he was a tight end.
He's a tight end receiver for us, but we had some injuries tonight, and we had to, you know, we had to put him at quarterback, and he just, you know, he was Luke, you know. When you got a special player like him, you put the ball in his hands, and he made some things happen for us and got found his way in the end zone, I think, four times, and he's just special. And can't say enough about the kids around him and how they stepped up and did great things as well. So, you know, he's a special kid.
Well, he's going to Iowa, so I'm pretty sure they saw something good in him. You mentioned he was playing quarterback tonight. We know your quarterback, Charlie James, excuse me, has been out for a while. I take it he was still out tonight, Coach?
Well, Kyle Casey went out early in the year. Charlie James stepped in for him. And, you know, Charlie got dinged up tonight. And we went to Luke, and Luke found a way to get it done.
Okay, Coach, that's good. And then talk about that. The way this game played out, we talked about it. You had the lead early, and then they took the lead. What was the morale of the team like there when they took that 28-20 lead?
Our kids just played, you know. They took the lead, and you could just see it in our kids' faces that they were going to find a way. You know, they took the lead, and we got the ball back. We drove. We went for a 4th-and-1 around midfield, didn't get it. Our defense said, nope, not going to happen, and they got us the ball back. We had, you know, penalty and a couple of big plays, and they had a punt, and we get the ball about the 30-yard line, and Luke goes on a 60-yard run and then caps it off with about a 15, 16-yard run for the touchdown to put us up, and then our defense got the ball back for us, and that was it.
Coach, you're going to be playing Mechanicsburg next week. Do you know much about them?
Oh, they're a good football team. Well, Coach, Coach Forrest does a great job out there, and you know, they're historically a really good football team, and they play a physical kind of football. So, you know, it's going to be a fun matchup.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight. Enjoy that one, and I know you'll have fun getting ready for Mechanicsburg in Week 12.
Hey, it's always fun to have another week of practice.
The head coach of Grandview, Jason Peters, 35-28. They get by Paint Valley tonight, and again, Lee, one that's was not easy for them at all tonight. It looked like it might be, but Paint Valley put up a heck of a fight to come back.
Well, you look at it, as you said, you know, Grandview was up 20-0 and then went down 28-20. You know, it says a lot about the kids that, you know, they come back and rally to win. But, you know, we've seen Pickerington
North do it. We've seen now Grandview do it. You know, you lose a quarterback, you lose, you know, and you just take your best player and say, you're going to be our quarterback. You know, Pickerington North did it, turned their season around when Jack Sawyer came in at quarterback. You know, and they did it with Luke Lachey tonight, said, hey, you know, play quarterback. I mean, that's got to be just a good feeling to have a kid that talented that you can say, yeah, we're going to throw you back here.
Lee, as we head to break, we've had another 8 beat a 1. May not be too much of a surprise, though, in Division 3, Region 12. Kettering Alter beats Chaminade Julien 10-7. Of course, Alter beat Chaminade in Week 10, 35-28, to just get into the postseason. So they do something that's really hard to beat a team in back-to-back weeks. We're going to take a quick break here on the Scoreboard Show, but when we come back, we will give you some more scores, and we will also talk to the head coach of Dublin Jerome, Bob Guesswich, on the heels of his team's victory in 5 overtimes tonight. That's coming up next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
If you are exploring your college options, make sure Walsh University is on your list as a premier Catholic university with nearly 100 programs, NCAA Division II athletics, and students from 34 countries. Walsh wants to make affording a college degree possible for all students. Our scholarship packages and financial aid opportunities are designed to meet that promise. Call Walsh University today to discuss your scholarship package or visit us online at walsh.edu/yourfuture.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience, boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs. More than 50% of our students receive financial aid. 100% are accepted to college. You're invited to the St. Charles Open House on November 3rd from 1 to 3 p.m. To learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof, you get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof crew is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 35 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof. 444-ROOF.
Welcome back, AM 820 Scoreboard Show, presented by ThisWeekSports.com and Able Roofing. Lee, I've seen some of the guys for This Week Sports and their Friday Night Live recaps already popping up over there at ThisWeekSports.com. Check them out to get the in-depth recaps of these games. How many you got up tonight?
I think we got 8 games tonight. So, and we had photographers at 10 games. So it'll be good. It's up there now. Frank better get moving. That's all I'm saying. Last guy in's got to buy pizza on Thursday.
Pictures, recaps, and Frank will be a little late. That's not his fault, though. It's Dublin Jerome's as they go to 5 overtimes tonight. But they get the win over Springboro, 28-21. Their head coach, Bob Guesswich, joins us on the Scoreboard Show. And, man, Coach, I can only imagine what you're going to say to us after 5 overtimes.
Well, I don't know if that's the right score. Either way, the right guys are on top, so we're good with it.
Did I say the wrong score?
5 overtime.
Did I say the wrong score, Coach?
I'm sure you did. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me.
We won. 38-2-0. 38-31, right?
There we go. You said 28-21. I just don't want a Robert kicker. I know I talk bad about communist kickball players, and he made a bunch of extra points and a handful of field goals tonight, so I don't want to rob him.
Yeah, 5 overtimes. We don't want to short you 10 points for sure. Coach, what was that like as you're going through and field goal missed, touchdown run, touchdown pass? What was that like there at the end of the game?
You know, we were really just thinking about the people that braved the weather. You know, OHSAA jacks up the prices for the playoffs. so we wanted to make sure they got their money's worth and kind of just planned it out that way. So.
Coach, that's so funny you say that because a friend of mine went to a game tonight and he said they're charging $9 now for the game.
It's crazy, isn't it? So, yeah. I mean, we need to get as many people around here as we can, but I'll talk to Snodgrass about it. I'm sure he's got me on speed dial.
If not, he will. Hey, Coach, now about the game. I mean, you know, they had you almost 2-1 in time of possession. You guys had 165 yards offense. How'd you put this win together?
Our kids play really hard. And I can't overstate the importance of that. I can't overstate the importance of resiliency. You know, I'm in the education field, and grit is the most overused term right next to culture. But I'll tell you what, our kids are pretty resilient. And they show a lot of grit where they just line up and play the next snap. And in high school football, you guys have watched enough of this. High school football, if you make a snap and just one more time, you increase the opportunity that other team's going to make a mistake. And so that's kind of what happened. And then capitalizing on your opportunities, right? And we had some opportunities. Adam Booth played extremely, extremely well. Ryan's not going to show up in the statistics tonight. Not all of that is on him. But he played extremely tough. Our offensive line played really tough. And our defense, man, our defense really stepped up tonight. They played great.
Sorry, the cough there, Lee. Coach, you guys now, you move on. You'll play Springfield next week. They beat Marysville tonight, 23-0. Have you guys, do you know anything about Springfield?
I know they're good. I mean, look, they've got young guys all over the field. They're going to be extremely, extremely physical, extremely talented. Mo Douglas does a great job with both of the programs he's been with, so he knows what it takes. But you know what? That's what the playoffs are for. You don't play rum dumps in the playoffs. And if you do, the system's broke. Right? Not to get back on my pulpit, but that's why you don't go to 12. So it'll be a huge challenge for us. But you know what? Our kids played really, really hard, and I'm at peace with how tonight shook out, and I know what team's gonna show up next Friday.
And then, Coach, last question for you. It was really cold out there tonight. You weren't wearing flip-flops, were you?
No. The kids were actually making fun of me because I was walking around the locker room with them. And we have a lacrosse coach. And I don't know if you ever deal with lacrosse coaches. Lac pros and lacrosse coaches, they're just different birds. And, like, about 60% of our team are a bunch of lac pros. And our coach, Andy Asmal, I love him to death. But he goes out there barefoot or in flip-flops every single game. And they're like, why are you pulling an asthma? And it was really, I just had to run out to my car and grab my three pairs of socks to throw on. So no, we were all bundled up.
Well, Coach, that's good. Congratulations on the 5-overtime win tonight. Good luck next week against Springfield.
All right, appreciate it, fellas. Have a great one.
He's the head coach of Dublin Jerome, Bob Guesswich, 38. Not 28, 38-31. They knock off Springboro tonight in 5 overtimes. Olin Tangi Liberty, they are moving on. They get a 14-7 win over Westerville Central tonight. Their head coach Steve Hale joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And Coach, you beat the Warhawks 17-7 in the regular season, 14-7 tonight. How evenly matched are your two teams?
Well, I mean, they're a really talented team. They have some really, really good athletes, and the coaches do a great job. So we were challenged all night long. I think either game, if you look at it closely, could have gone either way. You know, the regular season matchup and the playoff matchup. It's one of those great games. It was a shame that, you know, somebody had to walk away with the game not getting a victory. You know, I felt bad for their kids after the game because they played really hard.
Now, Coach, we're following the game on Twitter and saw that Corbin Parrish was back at quarterback for you. Did he start tonight?
No, he did not. We were going to rotate it, and then we just felt like Corbin gave us a little bit different aspect in the passing game, and so he ended up getting most of the reps as the game went on. But just really, really excited for him to get another opportunity to play football, and, you know, there's a point in the season where we never thought that would happen again.
Now, when you're playing a team that you've played already, you know, a division foe as well, how do you approach that with your team? Because you've already beaten them. I don't want to say that your kids would be overconfident, but how do you approach it when you're playing a team that you've already beaten?
Yeah, I think it'd be impossible to overcome it with us with Central, with the level they, you know, their play. But, you know, the nice thing was the film we had, you know, our own, was very helpful. You know, we looked at it and we looked at the mistakes that we had made in the previous game, and I'm sure they did the exact same thing, and their game plan was a little different tonight than we saw the first time around, and I'm sure they noticed our game plan was a little bit different, and the result ended up pretty much the same. We were battling right down to the last minute. So, you know, both coaches, you know, both sets of coaches doing a great job preparing their kids and getting ready to battle. But, yeah, I think that was the only thing. It is odd playing teams. We're used to being in Region 2, playing teams that we're not as familiar with. And, you know, this is a little different, playing teams in our own conference and playing teams from Central Ohio.
Well, you're going to play another team next week that you've played before in Groveport. Did you hear how their game ended?
I did not. I know that they had won, and I know that they're incredibly talented, and this will be a great challenge for us again. Did something unique happen there?
Well, they were down 10-0 with, 7 minutes to go in the game, and got a kick return for a touchdown. They got an onside kick and won it in the last 25 seconds.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So made your win tonight seem like just a walk in the park, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, all we had to do was have a goal line stand at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's high school football. You can't make any of this stuff up. I mean, the stuff that happens is, you know, every week it's just fun to watch, you know, all the things that happen. Of course you want to win, but all the things that play out on the field, it's just so much fun to watch these kids and how they respond, and coaches and people, you know. I mean, you just can't, like I said, you can't make this stuff up. So we get another great challenge next week, and, you know, we're going to have to face some really great athletes again.
When you're got that goal line stand, and, you know, and they're down there, they're looking to tie the game, I mean, how does that feel for you as a coach as you're watching that?
Well, I didn't watch much of it, to be perfectly honest with you. The offensive staff and I were on the headsets, and we were already planning overtime. You know, they had the ball down to the 2-yard line, so the things that were happening on the field, we didn't have any control over. The only thing we could start talking about is if we get to overtime, which seemed somewhat likely at that time. You know, what plays do we like? What sets do we like? And then the next thing we know, it's fourth down, and they got one play left, and I did watch that play.
Yeah, they're like, hey, coach, you might want to turn around for this one.
Yeah. The situation's changed a little bit, and, you know, our kids broke up the ball in the end zone, and, you know, we put everything back away, and all we had to do was go out and take a knee at that point, so that certainly changed our posture a little bit.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a great game tonight and a great win, and it should be fun when you guys have a second rematch in 2 weeks, taking on Groveport next week.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a great game. I'm sure they're going to give us a great challenge. It'll be exciting. Just have to figure out where we're going to be and get all that taken care of, and then hopefully enjoy this one for a few minutes and get back to work in the morning.
Congratulations on the win, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
He's the head coach of Olentangy Liberty, Steve Hale. 14-7, his team hangs on and beats Westerville Central tonight. Division 1, Region 3 was a bunch of rematches. Three of the four games were rematches, and Pickerington Central, they get their second win over Reynoldsburg. It wasn't easy, though. The Tigers 20-14 winners tonight. Their head coach, Jay Sherritt, joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, kind of like Steve Hale's team, Liberty, you guys had to have a big defensive stand late in this one to get the win. How were you able to do it?
Well, we played stout defense all game. There's no doubt about that. And you know, we had a couple turnovers, which we don't usually have. But when we needed to tighten up and get a pass break up, we did. And Reynoldsburg came in with a great game plan. And those kids played hard and flew after the ball. And it was a heck of a challenge for a first-round game. And you know, we're just fortunate to be going the second round.
Well, Coach, you talked about your defense. Last I heard, with about a minute left, you had held Reynoldsburg to minus 13 yards rushing. I mean, you can't really ask much more out of your defense than that. Four turnovers to boot.
So, Jeff Monica, our defensive coordinator, and our defensive staff, they knew we were going to try to make them one-dimensional, and that's what we did. They weren't going to be able to run the ball off, and they couldn't. And, you know, to Reynoldsburg's credit, he hit a couple of big pass plays and got down there and scored. And then we had to do the onside boots and that kind of stuff. But what we need to stiffen up, our guys did. They broke up passes.
and they tackled him, and our guys have been at big ball games before, and, you know, we're fortunate to get our 10th win of the season, and, you know, now we're just waiting to see where we'll play, and we'll play Olin Kane Jones.
Well, Coach, you brought it up there that, you know, you're in the playoffs the 14th straight year. You're accustomed to deep runs, state semifinals, state champions. You know, does that help the mindset of the team when it does get close like this?
We were talking our we got four seniors, three seniors this year. They're 4-year letters and played all the time, and they played no less than 14 games in their high school season every year. And what's neat is when we came out to practice on Monday, those guys, you thought it was the first day of practice. It was neat for our younger kids to see that. And that extra 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever you're fortunate enough to go, pays dividends even for the kids that aren't out there playing every play. And, you know, I don't know if we'll go that deep. We're going to go to the second round and see what happens there. But happy for our seniors. They got to win their last game in Tiger Stadium. And, you know, we'll heal up and then get ready to start on a new game plan tomorrow.
And that new game plan will be for Olin Tangi Orange. They beat your crosstown rival Pickerington North 36-17 tonight. What do you know about Orange, Coach?
Well, we watched them on TV there on Thursday night there a few weeks ago. Solid, don't turn the ball over, tackle well. I mean, they have been playing really good football down the stretch the last 6 or 7 weeks, and it's going to be a great round two game, and it should be. It's a you know, Region 3, Division 1 playoff, and, you know, there's no gimme from here on out. So I know they're going to prepare well. We will, and we'll line it up and play and see what happens.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight. I know it's always tough to beat a team twice in the same year, but you did it, knocking off Reynoldsburg. Congratulations.
Thanks, I appreciate the coverage. Take care.
He's the head coach of Pickerington Central, Jay Sherritt. 20-14, they get by Reynoldsburg. What was it, just 2-3 weeks ago? It was like 40-14 in that one. Mm-hmm. Much different game tonight. Coach White and Reynoldsburg fought hard, but the Tigers get the win.
Yeah, that was a Week 9 game. And, you know, Coach White, Buddy White said in the preview, he goes, we're going to have a different game plan. Well, you know what? Pickerington Central did too. You know, Coach Sherritt said that their focus was to make them one-dimensional. You know, and they stopped the run. And it said if Reynoldsburg's going to beat us, they're going to have to pass to beat us. And they've got a very good secondary. So, you know, and when you can, you know, make a team one-dimensional, I mean, that's got, you know, you're cutting down their playbook. But then you're also, that's got to be such a good boost of confidence. Not that Pickerington Central needs it, but when you can control what the other team can do, I mean, that's just got to be a great feeling as a coach and a player.
Yeah, that's just a fantastic. And Lee, we've had the rematches here. We talked about them in Region 3 there of Division 1. Two of the rematches went the same way they did in the regular season. One of them did not, with Orange avenging that only loss to Pick North there. So that's pretty exciting. And, you know, it seems like this time of year, Olin Tangi Liberty, Pickerington Central, winning in the playoffs, it just seems like the way it should be. And that's what we got tonight.
Well, yeah, and Coach Hill brought it up. You know, they're used to being in Region 2, you know, where they're seeing a lot of different teams. This year they're in Region 1, or Region 3, and you know, and you look at the four teams that are left. Olin Tangi Liberty, Pickerington Central, Olin Tangi Orange, and Groveport. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and crazy that we could see, obviously, Groveport and Olin Tangi Liberty playing again next week. But how exciting looking ahead. What if we got a Groveport-Pickerington Central rematch later on? Obviously, we're jumping
any
the gun
of them.
Here,
I mean, would be good. You know, Olin Tangi Liberty against Pickerington Central, Orange against Pickerington Central. I mean,
Orange and Liberty. How
yeah,
about that?
You know, and you know, you're talking about you know three teams: Liberty, Central, and Orange are all 10-1 right now. Groveport is 9-2. Groveport's the one we don't expect to be in that grouping. You know, as we said 2 years ago, 0-10. You know, and you know. But Liberty, state semifinals 3 years in a row. Pickerington Central, state at least the state semifinals 3 years in a row with the state championship. Olentangy Orange has been in the playoffs. I think this is their fourth straight year in the playoffs. Yeah, and then you got Groveport.
It's very exciting there in Division One, Region Three, Lee.
You can play all that background music you want. I'm not going to quit talking until I want to.
No, you're all good. And we have every score from the state of Ohio tonight in Divisions 1, 2, 3, and 6. We will give you all of those coming up next on the AM 820 Scoreboard Show.
You're invited to be a part of the greatest weekend in high school football, the OHSAA State Championships in Canton, Ohio. Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium hosts all seven title games, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Make it a weekend to remember with the state finals and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Log on to the football page at OHSAA.org for information on the playoffs, championship games, and tickets. Don't miss your chance to be a part of history.
Academics, community, character, faith. For nearly a century, St. Charles has welcomed young men for an exceptional high school experience, boasting a college preparatory curriculum, modern facilities, robust athletics and extracurriculars, and powerful student mentoring programs. More than 50% of our students receive financial aid. 100% are accepted to college. You're invited to the St. Charles Open House on November 3rd from 1 to 3 p.m. To learn more about St. Charles, visit stcharlesprep.org.
How do we make our customers happy? We give them peace of mind. With Able Roof, you don't just get a new roof. You get an entire roof crew. The leadership of a foreman, the experience of professional roofers, the quality of an objective inspection, and a great customer service team. The Able Roof crew is proud to serve the Columbus area and bring along 35 years of expertise. AbleRoof.com.
Call Able for the proof. 444-ROOF.
Welcome back to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. Ryan Baker, Lee Cochran, the guru from this week's sports. Hey, don't forget as we go through the playoffs, and we have one more week of the Scoreboard Show coming up next week. You can tweet us your scores at AM 820 Scoreboard. That's a good place to find the scores as well. If you follow us on Twitter, you can also get the scores at our website, AM820Scoreboard.com is the place you can do that. Lee, before we went to break, I mentioned that we have, I believe, every score from round one of the playoffs this week. We've got them all on our sheets.
You ask people to tweet scores to us. What would you do with your time then? You're the way you scramble around three computers looking for scores. You just sit there like me.
I mean, that would be easy if they just put them right there in my lap or something. We got to make it a little difficult. But, hey, every score helps. And sometimes it's tough to get some of these scores, especially when we're trying to go around the whole state of Ohio or something like that. But we do have them all. So let's go ahead and start. Let's just go ahead and start in Division One, Region One. That's up in the northeast part of the state. Mentor is the number one seed. They're moving on. They beat Cleveland Heights 48-7. The two seed is Lakewood St. Ed's. They hammer Medina 73-38. Euclid beats Maslin Jackson 28-19, and Canton McKinley gets by Solon 29-25. In Division One, Region Two, three local teams were playing tonight. Marysville was the eighth seed. They went on the road to Springfield and they fall tonight 23-0. But Lee, we haven't talked about Marysville much here. Good season for the Monarchs.
Yeah, real good season. It's their first time in the playoffs since 2013, and that's the last time they had a winning record. You know, Brent Johnson's doing a good job up there. And we've had a couple other coaches talk about how the Marysville program is on its way back. You know, throughout this regular season, we've had a couple coaches talk about that. So, I mean, it's good for the Monarchs.
Well, and two of the best coaches in the area, and Brian White and Mark Crabtree, both talking about how physical the Monarchs were. And they both said they're playing an identity that they should be playing, a brand of football that's what Marysville should be.
Mm-hmm. And that's good, and they've done it this year. You know, it's a tough way to end it, kind of like we talked a little bit about Centennial. The season didn't end the way they want to, but, you know, the players for the Monarchs, players for the Stars, they're going to look back. It's going to hurt tonight. It's probably going to hurt tomorrow. It'll hurt Monday when they turn in their equipment. But after that, they'll look and they'll say, you know, as the, you know, in the next couple of years, they can look back and at this and say, we helped start something special.
Yeah, that's for sure. Springfield next week, they will play Dublin Jerome. The Celtics with that 38-31 win over Springboro tonight in five overtimes. What a game that one had to be. Frank Durena had to have a blast tonight, other than the fact that he was up against his deadline.
Yeah, you know, but Frank, I'm sure Frank will come through. He always does. But like I say, he'll owe us pizza on Thursday.
Big game Frank, as some of the coaches and the teams in the area like to call him.
If Frank shows up there, you know it's a big game. And you know, and Frank told me, he goes, I haven't seen Jerome all year. He goes, I'd like to go see him. And
what
I don't know.
What Coach, a game to pick to go to.
I know. I don't know. I should ask Coach Guesswich if he wants to see Frank again next week or not.
May not be good for his health, that's for sure. The 2 seed in Region 2 is Toledo Whitmer. They get a 35-21 win over Clayton Normont tonight. Whitmer will play Dublin Kaufman next week. The Shamrocks get that 45-14 win over Perrysburg. In Division 1, Region 3, Olentangy Liberty beats Westerville Central 14-7. They will play Groveport next week. The Cruisers with that 18-17 win over Hilliard-Davidson. And Lee, we've talked about it a little bit, but this first game, 21-14, Liberty won as they played in the regular season. It was an exciting one. I'm sure we'll be in for the same next week.
Oh, I would expect so. It's good to see Groveport, the way they bounce back from that, you know, just laying an egg against New Albany last week. But, you know, I mean, this is, you know, for Olentangy Liberty, it's pretty much, you know, the normal for them. I mean, they only had one, two, three games that were decided by more than four games decided by more than a touchdown. 4 out of 11 games. So they're used to playing these tight games. So, I mean, it's not going to faze them at all.
Yeah, I mean, when you've made three state semifinals in a row, you're used to this kind of football for sure. The 2 seed in Region 3 is Pickerington Central. They get a 20-14 win over Reynoldsburg tonight. Next week, they will play Olentangy Orange, who avenged their only loss of the year, beating Pickerington North 36-17. Kind of the big story in that one, Lee, was Pickerington North's Jack Sawyer left this game with a knee injury. Of course, he's the star defensive end, and he was playing quarterback for them as well. Hopefully, this injury not too serious for him, but he did not return.
No, he didn't return. They said he was walking on the sidelines, you know, and it must have had a, obviously it's going to have an impact on the team, but right after that, Olentangy Orange scored two quick touchdowns to really just get a comfortable lead.
Yeah, so that'll be something to look. Of course, Jack Sawyer, a very good basketball player, too. Hopefully that doesn't affect his season for the Panthers on the hardwood. In Division 1, let's go to Region 4 now, the only region we have left there in Division 1. Cincinnati, St. X, and Mason. That's the 1-8 matchup. Lee, this game was tied at 20 at one point. And then St. X reels off 28 unanswered. They beat Mason 48-20. So St. X, they will play a familiar foe, Cincinnati Elder, next week. They beat Lakota West 42-17. The 2 seed, Fairfield, they get by Hamilton 37-13. Next week, they will play Cincinnati Colerain, who beat Cincinnati Princeton 30-7. On to Division 2, Maslin. A lot of people think they may be the best team in the state. They hammer Warren Harding tonight, 55-0. So Maslin will play Maslin Perry next week, who beat Hudson 37-21. Mayfield is the 2 seed. They are unbeaten. They beat Willoughby South tonight 47-21, setting up a matchup with Akron Hoban next week 69-6. The Knights get by Alliance tonight. Division 2, Region 6, Avon, they're 11-0 after beating Worcester 33-13. They will play Cleveland Benedictine next week. They beat Broadview Heights 41-38. Lee, I was kind of watching this one all night on Twitter as I follow the Cleveland Benedictine Twitter feed, and they do a great job. Benedictine was losing in this game all night till the very end when they get that final touchdown to get the win.
I guess what I heard was that you follow the Benedictine Twitter feed. Man, you just can't get enough of high school football, can you?
Well, they used to play Watterson and or DeSales every year, and I've just never changed it. But Cleveland Benedictine, that's a classic Ohio high school football team. I was surprised to see they were in Division II this year.
Yeah, because it was a couple years ago they were in Division IV. Pretty quick rise, you know, DeSales jumped from 3 to 2. You know, I don't know if competitive balance had anything to do with Benedictine moving up that, you know, two classes that quickly. But, you know, hey, they're in the playoffs. What's it matter?
And they got a win. They're moving on to play Avon next week. Avon Lake was the 2 seed. They beat Maple Heights 38-6. They will play Wadsworth, who beats Olmsted Falls 35-7. In Division 2, Region 7, local teams in there. The number 1 seed, Toledo Central Catholic, they beat Toledo St. Francis tonight 20-10. Next week, they will play Toledo St. John's, who beat Westerville South 42-34. Anthony Wayne, they're the 2 seed. They beat Olentangy Berlin 44-36. But again, Lee, what a great year for Coach Nori and his squad. Even in this one, they were down pretty big early, but they fought back to that 44-36 deficit.
Yeah, it's good to see that because, you know, again, it's second year program, 1-9 last year, you know, and just turned it around and, you know, actually, 4 Olentangy schools in the playoffs, 3 of them got wins.
That's a pretty great stat right there. The fact that they got 4 in is amazing. We talked about that last week. But 3 wins and Berlin to play that tough, that's great. Anthony Wayne, they get the win. Congratulations to them. They can't get away from Olentangy schools as they will play Olentangy next week. What a, oh, just a, like you said, not a shocker that Olentangy won, but they hammered Troy tonight 42-10.
Well, especially, you know, with the way Olentangy closed the season, losing 3 of 4, including last week to Westerville Central, where they had 7 turnovers. But we talked to Coach Solis, who said, we forgot about that one immediately. I mean, he knew that was uncharacteristic of his team. He said, we didn't watch film, we didn't talk about it, we just moved forward. What a turnaround. My goodness, what a turnaround.
Division 2, Region 8, Cincinnati LaSalle is the 1 seed. They beat Little Miami 42-0. They will play Walnut Ridge next week. The Scots with that 28-7 win over Xenia tonight. The 2 seed in that region was Cincinnati Turpin, but they fall tonight to DeSales, the Stallions, with a big 27-13 win. So DeSales will play Harrison next week. Harrison knocks off Canal Winchester 24-18. Good season for the Indians as they finish up with a 9-2 record.
Yeah, last year they were 9-1, didn't make the playoffs, you know. And DeSales winning by 2 touchdowns. My goodness, the way today's going, that's a blowout for local teams.
Yeah, it was. And even then, they got those 2 touchdowns late in that one, as this one was 14-13 late in the game.
But what do you say about Quintel Quinn? I mean, a career high 278 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, I mean, that's, I'm already looking forward to next week and see how they handle it.
He's had a 4-week run here that's pretty impressive. 3 of those weeks over 200 yards, and then, of course, the 161 last week against Hartley. He's really hitting his stride for DeSales.
Oh, he's hitting a few strides and a few few other players.
In Division 3, Region 9, the defending state champions, Kinston, they fall. They lose to the number 1 seed, New Philadelphia, 31-28. They will play Aurora next week, who knocked off Steubenville, 27-21. The 2 seed in that region was Streetsboro. They are moving on. They beat Akron St. Vincent St. Mary, 21-14. They will play Chardon, who upset Dover tonight, 28-14. In Region 10, Norwalk, the 1 seed, they get by Glenville, 22-2. So they will play Medina Buckeye next week, who beats Sandusky, 20-14. Mansfield Senior, 28-0. They beat Village Bay. They will play Parma Heights Holy Name next week. They knock the 3 seed, Tiffin Columbian, off 14-7. In Region 11, that's where Hartley was the 1 seed. The game you heard right here on AM 820. They beat London tonight 14-8. The Hawks next week will play Granville, 41-7 winners tonight over Zanesville. Jonathan Alder, the 2 seed, they were trailing in this one, but they come back and roll over Sheridan, 35-13. They will play Jackson next week in a battle of unbeatens. Jackson, 70-28 winners over Centennial. In Division 3, Region 12, it was Kettering Alter, the 8th seed, knocking off Chaminade Julien 10-7. The Knights, they play Hamilton Baden next week, who hammered Hamilton Ross 46-14. Wapakoneta was the 2 seed. They fall, though, to Trotwood Madison 33-21. Trotwood Madison will take on St. Mary's Memorial, who upsets Franklin by a score of 14-10. In Division 6, Region 21, Springfield gets by Western Reserve 34-7. They will move on and take on Trimble next week, 26-14. The winners over Southern Local. Lee, how about this? Trimble tonight giving up those 14 points, more than doubled the amount of points they had given up all year. They had outscored their opponents 448-6 coming into this one.
Yeah, that's... Your eyes are bugging, mine are too. You just don't find stats like that too often. And I don't care who you're playing, to run it up like that is just amazing.
Absolutely. The 2 seed Mogador, they get by Brookfield 49-28. They will play Fort Fry next week, who beat Dalton 48-39. In Region 22, Cary 50, Western Reserve 41. That's an 8 over a 1. Cary will play Hillsdale next week. They beat Northmore 25-21. Seneca East was the 2 seed. They get by Norwayne 14-2. They will play East Knox, who is 11-0 after beating Crestview by a score of 21-20. Region 23, another 8-9 as Fairview knocks off Lima Central Catholic 29-27. Fairview plays Anna next week, who beat Minster 47-21. Liberty Center, the 2 seed, gets by Allen East 43-12. They will play Archbold, who beat Coldwater 27-21. Two state powers in that region going down tonight in Coldwater in Minster. And then finally in Division 6, Region 24, Chillicothe Southeastern beats Dayton Christian 40-3. They will play Covington next week, who beat Worthington Christian tonight 33-27. But again, Lee, what a great year for the Warriors.
Oh, yeah, you know, and 6th year as a program, first playoff berth, first league title, you know, it's a good way. You know, it's not the way they won end the season, but it was a good season nonetheless.
First playoff trip for Worthington Christian. Paint Valley, the 2 seed, they fall to Grandview tonight 35-28. So the Bobcats, they will play Mechanicsburg next week 32-7. They beat Edina. So there you are, all the scores for tonight. First night of the playoffs in round number one again. 1, 2, 3, and 6 played tonight. 4, 5, and 7 will take to the field tomorrow night. Olentangy Orange, 36-17. They beat Pickerington North tonight. Their head coach, Zeb Schroeder, joining us now on the scoreboard show. Coach, how good did that win in round one of the playoffs feel?
It was fun. A little stressful at times, but man, I'm just can't be happy. Could be happier for our kids. They just want to keep playing together, you know. And keep this train moving and scratching and clawing in the Division I tournament. That's why you play. You know, that's why you do all the hard stuff. So I'm just happy for our kids and going to enjoy this one tonight.
Well, Coach, final ends up 36-17. Sounds like a blowout, but it was a one-score game heading into the fourth quarter. What was the difference in the fourth quarter? You outscored them 13-0.
Yeah, you know, we just got, you know, we were able to move the ball at times in a decent amount of the night. And, you know, early in the game, we had to settle for field goals. And, you know, they had a crucial stop. You know, we were fourth in inches there midway through the third quarter. Could have really kind of distanced ourselves. And, you know, they stopped us on fourth in inches. And then they scored to make it a one-score game. And, you know, I think we traded possessions. They lost, Sawyer didn't play quarterback, I think it was second quarter on, and number two was back there, and he was very, very dynamic, and he really could, it was like, Johnny Manziel back there. He was really extending plays, and, you know, when they have the receivers that they do, and his ability to extend plays, it put our defense in a real bind tonight, and so kudos to their kids to just, run around making plays like that. So it was tough, and then I think eventually our running game was able to pop a couple big runs there that put it out of reach in the fourth quarter.
Well, Coach, any victory in the playoffs is good, obviously, because you move down. Now you're one of the final 16. But how good does it feel to beat the team that handed you your only loss this year?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think sometimes, you know, we live in the moment so much, and you know, you don't know how much those past events impact your kids. But you know, you could tell our kids tonight, and all really through practice this week. But you know, you just kind of tell when you look them in the eye. They had an edge about them tonight, and I know they were excited to compete against this team. And you know, our kids are a bunch of kids that, you know, they've been together since, you know, sixth grade football, and they played middle school football together and freshman football together, and have been together for so long that I think people this day and age, they forget how much that tightness and the bond and the culture that they've created, how much it means in high school football. And you know, they just want to keep practicing together and, you know, keep having all the fun behind the scenes and obviously winning on Friday night. So I just feel like sometimes that gets underestimated with some of the sizzle out there.
Well, now, Coach, you said your offense was moving pretty well, but yeah, you in the your first three scores were field goals. When you're moving the ball that well and have to settle for field goals, obviously it's points on the board. But is it frustrating that you come up short of the touchdown?
Yeah, it was alarming in the back of my head. You know, and we had told our kids all week, you know, one of the plan to win points was, you know, when we got in, we were able to drive that far, and we got to score touchdowns. And they're tough in the green zone because, you know, you have really good defensive backs with, you know, 2 6'4", 6'5" guys on the edge that can rush the passer, and, you know, very strong, active defensive tackles. So it gets tough. You know, if you run the ball, they got an extra hat in the run game. And, you know, if you go to throw it, you got the edge pressure and the man coverage. So, you know, it is what it is. And, but you know, kudos to our kicker, a sophomore, just rolls in there and kicks some field goals and, doesn't think anything about it. So sometimes having that sophomore in there doesn't worry too much about it. Just going in there and kicking is a good thing.
When we go back to the fourth quarter, I mean, Jake had a couple touchdown runs there. He finishes with almost 200 yards. Just talk a little bit about his performance.
Yeah, it's a typical Jake Mancieri performance. You know, he gets those body blows in the first half, and, you know, they're 3 and 4 and 5 yard runs. And in the second half, he's just such a physical runner. That you know, the kids, and next thing you know, they're diving at, they're trying to get the turf tackle, and he scoots around you, and next thing you know, it's a 25-yard gain. You know, I'm so happy for him. Because he just busts his tail, and he's a great practice player. That's just kind of par for the course of how he operates in the second half.
And then, Coach, if you didn't get your fair share of Pickerington tonight, you get some more next week as you take on Central. What do you know about the Tigers?
You know, don't know a whole lot. We've never really, you know, played them. I'm not sure I've ever coached against them in all these years. So I know they're very good, and I know they have a really good coach, Coach Sherritt, and they have size and speed and all those ingredients. So I'm sure it's going to be a tremendous challenge, but you know, we're going to try to enjoy this one tonight with the kids in the morning, and then we'll get to work and see what we're in store for.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win tonight over Pickerington North. Good luck next week against Pickerington Central.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
He's the head coach of Olentangy Orange, Zeb Schroeder. They avenged their only loss of the season, beating Pickerington North 36-17 tonight. And I guess it's only appropriate we wrap up our night tonight the way we began. The game you heard right here on AM 820. Hartley beats London 14-8. Their head coach Brad Birchfield joins us now on the Scoreboard Show. And Coach, they score one late, but your defense was really good tonight. Talk about their performance.
Yeah, they played great, and you know, we really stymied London from what they wanted to do, and took them away from running the ball. I don't think they had many yards or many first downs. You know, we gave them a few too many opportunities at the ball. I think with the turnovers we had on offense. The defense stood up tall, and they got one late, but to make it a little closer. But it was a tough, hard-fought game. London had a good football team, and we had to earn that victory.
Well, Coach, we could look at the final score and say 14-8, and maybe somebody's surprised by it. But I mean, your program's at the point where you expect to take everybody's best shot because a lot of teams gauge themselves by how well they play Hartley.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I kind of reminded, was joking with some of the key kids at the end of the game, after the game, and there'll be a lot of stupid people who'll say, oh, why didn't we score 100 and they scored negative points? And that's just people being fans and not understanding. These are hard games. I've heard every one of these coaches talk about, when people get in the playoffs, they have to earn it. You just don't get to register a team and get in like the other sports. I mean, you have to earn it. And the way you earn it is you got to beat good teams. So, everybody we play is going to be really, really good. We want to certainly whoop everybody and score as many as we can and not let them score any, but it just doesn't work that way. I mean, it is a battle. Everything I'd heard about London was how tough and how physical they were. And, obviously they shorten the game with what they do offensively. They take a lot of time off the clock, which was good for everybody except for probably the post-game show that went so long tonight. But, it's going to be quick football games. And it was a victory we had to earn.
Coach, I think it's fair to say with the run that you guys have had here that Hartley football is right up there. When you think of football in Central Ohio with the Pickerington Centrals, the Olentangy Liberties, the Hilliard Davidsons, this is your 10th straight trip to the postseason. Do you enjoy them all as much as you did the first one?
Yeah, we never take it for granted. I mean, that we remind the kids that winning's hard and beating good people is really, really difficult. And, 2/3 of the football teams, they were collecting equipment this week. And now half of these teams that were left are going to be collecting equipment next week. I mean, it's a rare thing to keep winning and keep going, and you have to earn it. And I'm proud of the success the program's had, not only the last 12 years, but the last 60 years. It's had tremendous success. But yeah, I think it has the best resume of anybody in Central Ohio ever. But that doesn't do anything for now. I mean, now it's you have to earn them one at a time and be proud of that, because nobody, Granville's not gonna look and say, you've won all these state championships, we're gonna give you 14 points. I mean, you got to go and block and tackle and earn it all the way through, and the kids understand that, and that's been the best part of the tradition.
Well, Coach, you brought up Granville. What do you know about the Blue Aces?
A lot. Obviously, I have a lot of respect for Coach Buttermore. He was at Tri-Valley that beat us in a real good football game in the regional final a few years ago. I mean, he's as good a football coach as anybody we coach against. I mean, they just do a tremendous job in every area. I mean, they're stout on defense. I mean, they don't give up many points at all. And I know Zanesville was scoring a lot of points, so I think Zanesville only scored on one deep ball. Licking Valley handled them earlier in the year, but I don't know that. I think Licking Valley is awful, awful good. And a coach like Coach Buttermore takes a loss, and they get better from it. So we're going to have to be at our very, very best to win this football game next week. And that's something that we made an emphasis to the kids right as soon as the final gun went off. I mean, we're in it now, and every play's critical. And everybody understands that.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the big win over London tonight, and we look forward to next week when you guys take on Granville.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
He's the head coach of the Hartley Hawks, Brad Birchfield. Already saying he's going to talk to us next week on the Scoreboard Show. I don't know if he meant that. Maybe he was talking about our preview show as well. But a big win for them. They beat London tonight 14-8. Lee, real quick, before I get your final thoughts, I'm just going to run through the scores of the teams in the area. Springfield beats Marysville 23-0. Kaufman beats Perrysburg 45-14. Dublin-Jerome 38-31 winners in 5 overtimes. Olentangy Liberty 14. Westerville Central 7. Pickerington Central 20-14 winners. Olentangy Orange 36-17 over Pickerington North. Groveport edges Hilliard Davidson 18-17. Olentangy Berlin falls to Anthony Wayne 44-36. Olentangy all over Troy 42-10. And Westerville South loses to Toledo St. John's 42-34. DeSales beats Turpin 27-13. Canal Winchester falls to Harrison 24-18. Walnut Ridge over Xenia, 18-7. Hartley, 14-8 over London. Jonathan Alder, 35-13 over Sheridan. Centennial season comes to an end, losing to Jackson, 70-28. And Granville beats Zanesville, 41-7. Grandview knocks over, I think I just said Grandview. Granville beats Zanesville 41-7. Grandview beats Paint Valley 35-28. And Worthington Christian falls to Covington 33-27. Lee, your final thoughts on the first night of round one of the playoffs?
I don't know how it could be any more exciting than it was tonight, but I'm hoping it is. You know, we sit here, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about talking to Groport coach Schoonover. I mean, he just sounded drained. Just sounded drained. And then, you know, Coach Guesswich, whose team won in five overtimes, it was just like seeing him at the grocery store chatting. You know, but, you know, what was nice, we got to talk to all 11 coaches who won from Central Ohio tonight in our coverage area. So that's pretty cool. I'm already excited about next week. These semifinal regional semifinal matchups. There are some dandies out there. You look around. I mean, even kind of the ones that, you know, we've talked about the Division One, but you know, DeSales. I mean, that's going to be a good one. You know, Hartley Granville. That's going to be a good one. I mean, I don't know that there's going to be a bad one. But at this point, in the season, second round of playoffs, you don't expect bad games. But I don't know that we can match the excitement of the night, but it's sure going to be fun to find out.
It was pretty exciting for sure. And again, this is just the first night of round one. Of course, divisions 4, 5, and 7 playing tomorrow night. So we'll have our eyes on those as well. Big thanks to all of our coaches that called in tonight. Byron Maddox of Walnut Ridge, Ryan Wiggins from DeSales, Mark Solis of Olentangy, Ryan Schoonover of Groveport, Mark Crabtree from Dublin Kaufman, Jason Peters of Grandview, Bob Guesswich from Dublin Jerome, Steve Hale of Olentangy Liberty, Jay Sherritt, the head man of Pickerington Central, Zeb Schroeder from Olentangy Orange, and Brad Birchfield from Hartley, all 11 winning coaches from the area. Congratulations to them. Also, congratulations to the teams that bow out tonight in round one of the playoffs. Great seasons for all of them. Don't forget, we will be here next week, our final week in week 12. One more for the AM 820 Scoreboard Show. For our associate producer, Chris Higgins, and the guru, Lee Cochran, from This Week Sports, I'm Ryan Baker saying one final time, thanks for listening to the AM 820 Scoreboard Show, everyone. We'll see you in week 2.